soon. We have lots of lively discussion. I hate to draw that to an end, but we are at 4 o'clock. And at this time, I'd like to call to order the Waterworks and Sewer Commission meeting for November 17th. We have, the first item up would be the public forum. And at this time, I would open the public forum for anyone in the audience that would like to address the commission or anything that might not be on the.
Thank you. Yeah, we have a couple of recognitions. These are 30-year recognitions.
Awesome. So we wanted to bring one up.
That's great.
But I'm going to introduce Ms. Donna Wilson. And I had to write this down so I don't forget anything. But Donna's been here at RWU through all the incredible growth we've seen in the last 30 years. She has seen it all. She's probably seen every single type of customer we have. They almost, I think every one of them was left happy after talking to them. Maybe not really, but it's on one hand the ones that have. She's not only a wealth of knowledge of anything RWU and customer service, but she's always happy to share her extensive knowledge with all the other customer service reps, making her invaluable to our training program. Thank you for that. If you come into your lobby to pay your bill more than once, you'll have the chance to meet Donna. And if you've met Donna more than once, she'll know your name more than likely. In fact, so many people, there's a lot of people that actually come by here just to say hi to Donna. They don't need to come and pay the bill. They won't come in and see Donna. Or they'll ask for her specifically on the phone. Now, that's the type of customer service people just don't forget. You don't see it much anymore, but Donna sure has it. She's always smiling, brightens everyone's day, and is the absolute definition of Southern hospitality. Love her around here. She's kind of the glue. Thank you for 30 years, and we hope we get a bunch more out of you, Donna.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
I attest to all of it. Hey, Johnny.
So I get to recognize Terry Edwards for 30 years. And today's Terry's birthday, by the way.
I think he just turned 30.
Yeah.
I think he started out here as a kid.
Again, Terry's, he started out in the field. I think in the ditch at the very start, he taught himself a lot of things, and he was able to work himself up to a supervisor. Now he's our locate person, because I can tell you this guy's a walking encyclopedia when it comes to our water lines. I mean, he can tell you, hey, that water line out there is 4 foot deep and it's cast iron, and you go dig it up, it's going to be 4 foot deep and cast iron. I don't know how he does it. I mean, all these old lines in town and even the new lines, he can tell you how deep the ductile iron lines are. I mean, I don't know if he goes out there and stomps his foot and it tells him, he's probably one of the best witchers that we have in the utility. And if you don't know what that means, it means taking the copper and going out there and having them turn. And he pretty well, he's spot on, I'd say 9.5 out of 10 times. So, he's been a great friend since I've started here. You know, he's been a great employee. He's, again, just like Donna, he shares his knowledge. He's been sharing his knowledge. And he shares his expertise with us, the field, engineering, everything. And we'd just like to recognize Terry for 30 outstanding years here at Rogers Water.
Congratulations.
The board, thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Terry, thank you so much. Thank you all so much.
Terry.
That's right.
52?
53. Just turned.
All right. Yeah.
So you were 23 when you started. That's pretty young.
Just went on the drop. So.
Well, hey, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Donna, thank you.
Y'all have a nice evening.
You're welcome to stay. I mean, all the food.
We just thought about one other thing while we were talking about this is getting ready for this was just wanted to let y'all know how much the employees really enjoyed our first annual picnic at the Towers. And for the commissioners that showed up there, thank y'all. It was great seeing you guys out there. But our employees, I was amazed with the feedback that we got when we got back in on Monday about how great it was to actually just sit around and talk and hang out and just be around everybody and not be all about, it wasn't about work. It was just about getting to know, you know, for us, for me, it was getting to know the spouses of my employees and you know, their kids and just being around that. And it was great. That's what the guy said. It was great how we interacted with their, well, everybody did, not just the guys, everybody, how all this management stuff interacted with their families and everything. They really enjoyed that. And like I said, they were very happy with it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for including us because well it done. Was fun.
Yeah, you got a great family here, Rick. Well done. Okay, anything else? I know we have employee recognitions. Anything else to come before the public forum? And if not, then I'll close the public forum and we'll move on into our agenda. The first item on the agenda would be action on the minutes. These would be the minutes from our October the 20th, 2025 commission meeting. And those were sent out in our packet. And I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for the October 20th, 2025 commission meeting.
Second.
I have a motion, tie for second. I'll go to the left. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes from October the 20th. We'll move into reports. The first one is the financial report. Jared.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you.
This will be our report for the month of starting with billed revenue in the water fund. I guess I just gotta make that a little smaller. Billed revenue for the water fund is $1.88 million. That's down 5.7% from October of 2024. If you just look at the revenue associated with consumption, it's down 2.4%, while consumption itself is down 9%. On the sewer side, we had billed revenue also of $1.88 million. But that represents a 9.8% increase from the prior year. And the revenue associated with consumption up 20.6%, while sewer consumption itself up 2.3%. And there's a little wonkiness in those numbers. So to try to explain that a little better, I'm going to see if I can come down here to a later page of the report and just show you a little breakout of the consumption. So this is the water end of month cash report. Got cash receipts there on the top. Revenue billed in October, customers' consumption. So it just reads across there, right? Residential dollars billed, the consumption in gallons compared to October of 2024. And then down here at the bottom, I've just added a few more breakouts to help us see visually what's going on. And the obvious one that sticks out right there is residential irrigation with consumption down 38%.
What is that? The ARO, because that's 60,000.
Accounts receivable other, and that's mostly consumption associated with our fire hydrant.
Okay, because that was a little bit of a difference when I looked at those numbers.
Yep.
97 to
right.
30. So
and there's a lot of volatility in that one too. And as it turned out, it was sort of a big year for that last October. So that's probably down to closer to what's normal this year. So you're right. That's driving it along with this residential irrigation. But I think that little bit of detail there, that breakout detail, can kind of help tell the story a little bit when we're looking at those year-over-year percent changes.
One quick question, another follow-up on those penalties, they were about 47 and 49. Yeah. What is that in that particular, on page 27, that the one you showed, they showed penalties.
Penalties.
Would those be what we, where would those come from? And this isn't a gotcha, this is something maybe even next time, but there was, it was 49 last year, 47, and I just wondered what falls in the penalty
category. Did you say they were a good bit different?
No, they're 2,000 difference year over year, yeah. But it was just my question is, what makes up the penalty?
Late fees, 10% late
fees.
It's
all late fees.
Predominantly, okay. I would imagine.
Okay.
I'd have to look into it to find the other.
And if you don't mind, maybe at another time. But,
yeah.
But I was just kind of curious on the penalties.
Okay. So are we seeing more of that lately? More late?
I have not noticed it being
any
markedly different anyway. And here I don't think these numbers indicate it's much different. So
we if this is along the same lines, Kathy, we always watch those shutoffs and we may be remarkably soon.
Okay.
We look at them as an economic indicator as well.
Okay.
And I think it's there's no doubt there might be some tough times out there. I think there certainly are, but it's also the inelasticity of the water.
So for our actuals versus budget, we're, as I said, 4 months of the way through the year, 33%. If you look at the water fund, both revenues and expenses are trending over at 34% and 35% respectively. Capital outlay is 17% of budget in dollars. That's $1.8 million. On the sewer side, revenues are trending under budget at 31%. Expenses right on target at 33%. Capital is at 9% of budget. That's still $4.4 million, though. For year-to-date income and loss, on the water side, we've got year-to-date income of $3.3 million through 4 months. That is 33% of our budgeted income, so right on target there. Sewer year-to-date income is $2.47 million. You can see that's lagging at 26% of budget. I will say that on the revenues particularly, it's impact fees and contributed capital. That's a lagging and contributing to those revenue numbers, maybe being a little bit lighter. Of course, last month we added contributed capital to the income statement, so it's now, as those go, and they're fairly big dollar amounts, as those go, it's going to play a role in the numbers that we're reporting for our budgeted income and actuals relative to that.
So, it was access and impact fees that we budgeted high.
Yes, so far, according to the actuals, yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And not helping that any was some inaccurate billing of one subdivision, Taylor Estates, over on 26th Street. So between water and sewer, we had about $110,000 that we recognized. Those were impact fees back in July. We also recognized access fees in July, and that was what we should have recognized, but we recognized all the impact fees as well, and those ought to be recognized as the meters are requested, which is our normal practice. So we backed out a total of $110,000, and they have had a few meters set out there. I want to say 15 so far, so they're getting there. It's just it's not $110,000 in July like we previously reported. So that's $110,000. We did have some activity in the month of October, but it still turns out to be a net decrease of about $23,000 for the month. And that is a total of $579,000. It's 12% of our budget.
Jared, the 110 doesn't go away completely. It just comes back in a different way.
So even though we lose July,
we're going to see it over the course of the remaining months.
You're right.
It's not lost. It's just it'll find its way back to us over time.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Thank you.
Despite year-to-date income lagging in sewer, our cash position is stronger than it ever has been. Between water and sewer, we're at $61.5 million now, which is $8 million over where we were last year, and it's almost $2.5 million more than last month. And Matt and I looked into that a little bit just because that's a big increase. And what we figured it comes down to is just the big checks that we're writing over at the pollution control facility. As you know, we're also getting the draws, the reimbursements from the ANRC for that 2024 series debt. So as we incur the expense and write the checks, I submit a disbursement request from the state and we draw down those funds from our bond. But because those are big dollars, there can be, I think, a little volatility. So for example, we had a $1 million cash outlay in September. And then we got that money back, $1 million, in October. That's adding to our cash position, right? We had about $900,000 just for our contractor for October expense, which is reducing net income. But that check wasn't written until November. So that's cash out the door in November. So there's always timing considerations like that for all the business that we do. But as we get into this big project and start writing some big checks and getting those reimbursements from the state, there's just timing considerations that I think are going to add a little volatility, probably both to our net income numbers and to our cash reserves as we go through it.
It never hurts to have good cash reserve.
No, it doesn't. And we've been rolling for a few months now. Two Cedars held at two institutions, but about $8 million that we keep bumping another month in anticipation of a big milestone payment on that pollution control facility project. So I think that's probably coming up soon. And we'll be ready for it when it does.
Well, it's good management. Thank you.
Other financial reporting items, same as usual on our purchased water. We're holding steady at 7%. Lost water, it's a 12-month rolling average. That concludes my report. I'll be back up later for a policy recommendation. Yes.
Thank you so much. Okay. Very good. We'll move then to our next item, item two, engineering reports.
Good afternoon. Our temporary Halloween employee here. IT actually brought in we have a Halloween party over here, so we had the skeleton. We had an employee that extended leave to watch a new baby, so we were joking that this was his temporary replacement.
You're working until the bone.
Working.
I'm not quite sure what the message was.
So the good progress at the solids handling site, we've got, I think they did the pour this morning for the final pour on the dryer pads.
Good weather.
And so they actually started putting up all the building steel today. And so if you go out there, you can actually start to see the scale of the facility. All the pads and now the structural steel going up.
Brian's all the steel on site. It's just now just a matter of putting
right.
it together.
It's just a matter of, so I'm not sure if sheet metal's on site. I know all the structural steel's there and there.
Red irons.
They started erecting.
So.
That's taking shape. So over the next few weeks, that's going to be the main focus is the structural steel and getting the metal building package put together on the dryer building, as well as the maintenance building expansion, as well as finishing out all the plumbing and everything, all those services. As Jared said, we've got some big milestone payments coming up, namely the payment for all the dryer pieces and parts arriving on site. We've got about probably 85% of it is on site right now, just waiting on a few more, and we plan on making about a $5.5 million payment here in December. So. I'm sure as you drove in, you saw we had some new asphalt overlay and or seal coat and striping on the parking lot. We've been doing that all over town. So this is last week they had the Lilac Tower site done, crack sealing and seal coating. We've had this done at all the lift stations. And the plant we just limited to crack sealing, since we've got so many projects going over there. It might look like a checkerboard once they get done with the seal coat. Our transmission main easement acquisition status, and so we've had appraisals done on about most of those properties south of Highway 264 at this point. We've got appraisals back, more than about $831,000 worth of appraisals. We've got three of those easements completed and signed off of. And so we've still got 12 on hold, and that's the portion north of 264 where we've got a contract amendment to do some of that environmental assessment. So moving forward on the transmission main design. We did receive the draft technical memorandum for the updated sewer model last week. And as we kind of expected, the increase in density, when we look at the projects that were originally outlined in our capital improvement plan, I think we had about 17 projects outlined. Now we have 28. And some of those existing projects that were called out, we saw an increase in recommended pipe size due to that density. And so it's a good thing we know now rather than later after this is built, so we don't have to come back in 15 years and do this again. And so some of the plans that are in design are going back through some revisions to put those adequate pipe sizes in there. A lot of the other projects are just extensions of the downstream projects. For example, Project 23 is an extension of one of the projects that was originally part of our sewer master plan. So as we review this draft, we'll come up with a revised capital improvement plan. Of course, what we just did with the rate study is based on the original capital improvement plan. I don't see this affecting anything in the next 5 years as far as, what we put into our rate study. However, looking a little bit further down the road, 10, 15 years, when all these long-term projects in the blue have to be constructed, I think we will be kind of reassessing our financial needs farther down the road. So, like I said, we're still reviewing this draft, and I should have some more information about this when it's finalized. Project status, we're just making slow and steady progress in all these projects that are in design. Like I said, some of these have to kind of go back through some of those revisions to increase the sewer size. We did complete the 2024 miscellaneous water line replacements, and everything else under construction is going pretty well. Pretty good progress. So. Development plans, reviewed 150 sets of plans, or 149 sets of plans in total. So. Pretty much on par with what we've been seeing. We haven't seen anything accelerate or slow down. Got a summary of our review projects here, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Linder, questions, comments?
Yes. Well done, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
With your team, thank you. Next item would be pollution control. Good afternoon, sir.
The October numbers look really well. Once we got the plant stabilized and back into the groove of the right amount of solids and the right amount of food coming in. It responded well. We've had a fairly slow month overall at the facility, which is a really nice thing after the last few months. Significantly, the Chicken Quick, one of the things that they were supposed to do after the change out and all the things that went with that was they were supposed to submit to us a plan, an engineered plan, to improve their flow measurement devices by today, and it showed up today. So it's, you know, probably more accurate for next month, but since this has been a hot topic, I'll go ahead and let you know that the suspense is over and we'll be reviewing that plan in the coming weeks. The other stuff is a lot of detail in there, and you can see that Paul is checking everybody else to make sure we don't have any other people giving us inaccurate information. I'll just say that, whether intentional or unintentional. Our fog inspection, we've been struggling a little bit with the Big Orange group between having an owner in Pinnacle and those guys trying to get everybody organized and communicating well. I don't think anybody's being malicious about it, but it is taking a lot of communication. But they're continuing to move forward and trying to rectify their situation. The city is also involved with it because it does involve some stormwater runoff as well. So there's a lot to be organized on our side. Let's see. And like I said, we didn't do a whole lot, but we did have a turkey fry and a potluck lunch. It went well. Other than that, we did treat about 318 million gallons. Average daily flow was 10.3. I'd say that's a pretty typical month for us. 3.3 inches is a little bit light compared to the 4 is typical. But, you know, maybe missing one rain event. That's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Commissioners? Okay, Todd, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, then no old business, and we will move then to the new business, and the first item is a change order number 3
for the West Poplar Street improvements.
Yes, so in this sketch here, we've got Poplar Street. Poplar Street over here, and then this is South 3rd Street. And so this the scope of work for the sidewalk and the driveway extensions here in 3rd Street wasn't a part of the original scope of work. We do have plans to run water line all the way up 3rd Street to meet up with Poplar. And so we feel like this will be a good time to do it while the street extension is going on, so we don't have to tear that up later. I wrote a brief explanation in this document here. I don't have a change order to present to you yet. This estimate is based off unit prices and, you know, the best guess we could get from that. From the engineer was that they would have an extra about an extra $20,000 in private service connections to reconnect, because we have to reroute a couple of those water and sewer services to some of those existing buildings. And so we're requesting authorization to negotiate that change order based on this quote with an additional $20,000 to account for those contingencies.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask for, we'll just stay with the change order number 3, and as you all can read, staff requests authorization to negotiate the final form and content of a change order based on the quote below, with an additional $20,000 to account for contingencies and additional expenses incurred for the relocation of building plumbing service lines. which would result in an additional reimbursement to the City of Rogers in an amount not to exceed $82,714. So what I'd like to do is would entertain a motion on $82,714 Poplar Street, and that would be change order number 3.
I make a motion. I think this is very prudent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve the change order number 3. $82,714. Does that get us where we need to be? Covered. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. The next item is item number 2, and this is a change order project 3479 Rogers Fire Station number 4.
Yes, this location is at 24th and Olive Street. If you're familiar with that site, there's the older fire station next to a park that was constructed in the 80s sometime. So the City of Rogers is undertaking a project to build a new fire station number 4 at that corner, and has future plans to convert that signalized intersection to a roundabout, which will require the utilities to be relocated, mainly water line. And so when we were looking at this fire station project, the most economical way to relocate the services for that intersection is to take the water line along the south side of the road, which happened to be, you know, where the fire station was being built. The initial hope was is that the roundabout and the fire station would be constructed at the same time. However, the fire station's coming first. The roundabout will likely appear when the city gets more funding in the next bond. And so we would like to set this up to make the future utility relocation a little bit easier and loop this water line in as part of this project. The fire station project did not initially budget for this expense of extending the water line. This would have been our expense anyway had the roundabout happened first, so we feel that it is prudent to cover the cost of this water line extension as part of that fire station. And we do have a quote from the city's construction manager, Baldwin and Shell, in the amount of $85,480 for this change, and staff recommends approval.
So the station is still going to be worth, because there's new apartments there on the corner.
Right. The station is just going to be on the west side of those new apartments.
Yeah, where that fence is.
Okay.
It's where
okay.
They got it fenced in now, I think.
Yeah.
Those apartments actually run 24th Street and then a little more to the south. There's.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the apartments do come up all the way to Olive. And we stubbed out water line and, you know, kind of pieced this thing together as all these projects come in adjacent to each other. So this will kind of connect that loop.
Okay.
Well, we have a recommendation for approval of change order project 3479 Rogers Fire Station number 4 in the amount of $85,480 for utility expenses.
Do you think this is accurate? Is this a not to exceed? Do we need to have a contingency built in?
It looks like they have everything covered. I mean, it never hurts to have a. I did not ask how if there were likely going to be any change orders to this. I will say if it's something fairly minor, you know, a lot of times you know, staff can approve that as long as it's a small amount. But if it's, you know, if it's a substantial amount, we would come back to the commission.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
And that's all I would say is if you run into this and there's something different, always just bring it back. Just reset the table. We'll look at it again if there's something that needs to be adjusted. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries to approve the change order for $85,400. Yes, he'll be in. His birthday today?
Oh.
we got two birthdays.
Birthdays are right.
Well, happy birthday.
It will be interesting, the way that street kind of goes through there, the olive, and to do a roundabout, because you can have a couple of them. You got some elevation changes that could be. Looked to me like a big challenge, you said that. Drainage too, so good luck. But it'll have to take a bond issue to get that one done.
That is my understanding.
I think the funds are, that from the last bond issue have been utilized, or being utilized.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, the last item, we got number three, and it is it's resolution 25-33.
It's a resolution establishing written policies and procedures regarding electronic funds transfers and for other purposes.
Sir, thank you. We pay a handful of vendors by ACH. We pay all of our employees by direct deposit. Over my 2-year tenure here, we've wired funds once or twice. But all of these are examples of electronic funds transfer, or EFT. We've discovered that to do that, we, by state law, should have an ordinance authorizing us to do that. So that's what this is, along with an accompanying set of policies and procedures. These are best practices, standard practice. They're, I would say, mostly in line with what we have been doing, although we did use the exercise to shore up a couple of our controls. For example, dual authorization. Anybody that gets a check from Rogers Water will see two signatures on there. In our Tyler financial software, only one of those people actually signed off on it. So we've added a second approver step that's now required in those payment processes so that two of our four on staff anyway authorized signers have to see it and sign off on it before we'll process any payments package. You'll see other things in here that I think look like fairly common sense controls. Another of the key ones though is how we verify vendor requests for either electronic payment or changes to their banking details. And the control there is just independent verification of that by phone call to a known number, tracking down somebody with the knowledge and authority to speak to that, and then verifying that it matches the request that we've received in writing. So again, just kind of formalizes those things, helps make sure we're all on the same page and that our payments end up in the right hands and not in the wrong ones. And so we've got resolution 25-33, and the accompanying exhibit 1 is the policies and procedures.
I make a motion to approve resolution 25-33, a resolution establishing written policies and procedures for private funds transfers and for other purposes.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? This can't be tight enough. In the world we live in today, ACH and just the movement of money and people trying to get money, I think you just need to find it and make sure that if you're sending money, you know what it's doing, supposed to, and so even down to the credit cards and other things in there, but it's money, it's someone else's money, we just got to watch it. So
you know how it came to our attention was an email from the Arkansas Municipal League about one city that didn't get it right, and they were able to catch it in the end and I think undo what had been done, but certainly that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, you just can't be careful enough, so I appreciate the policy, and again, just it's, you know, just got to watch it. So,
yes, sir.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries to approve resolution 25-33. Any other items to come before the commission? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. We are adjourned. Thank you all so much.
38 minutes.